This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast is sponsored by AmericasBestRacing.net. AmericasBestRacing.net. Listen, the world has enough losers. So AmericasBestRacing.net has made a freaking Kentucky Derby cheat sheet to create more winners. Clones. You want to be a winner? Check it out. AmericasBestRacing.net. That's AmericasBestRacing.net.
As you sit on the side of your desk and you have your conversation, to what level are you going to take your voice in order to amplify so that you can see the change that you want the world to be? Each person is on their journey to do just that. And if you want to make it explosive, then that is what you choose to do. And if you want to whisper, in a lot of circles, that's just as strong and just as powerful as those that shout.
I respect that. Man, this is so powerful. This is so...
Why are we not talking more regularly, man?
Hey now, what's cracking? Welcome to episode 141 of the Jim Rome Podcast. I hope you're all healthy, happy, and safe, and I hope you're ready to hear from somebody extremely thoughtful, extremely real, and one of the deepest dudes anywhere, former NFL linebacker Dahani Jones. Now, when it comes to making the jump from professional sports to post-playing retirement, nobody has done a better job with that transition than Dahani. And if you don't believe me, you're about to hear it for yourself. In this conversation, he and I talk about the newfound family time that he has, what he's doing with it, finding the silver lining in a pandemic, the intersection of life challenges, shocking the system, and why it's so important to be in the Midwest right now the way he is. I'm talking about a podcast that's got a ton of range, and I've got nothing left to do now besides roll this thing. So let me get out of the way and do this right now. Dahani Jones coming right at you. Dahani, it has been a minute or so since you and I have come together and chopped it up. It is awesome to get caught up. Thank you so much for making time. Listen, before we get into all of this, let me first ask you, how are you and yours doing during this most unusual and challenging time?
We've had, hours and weeks and months and time to just be together as a family. I think, amongst all this trial and tribulation and turmoil that's happening in the world, amongst all the COVID infections and the financial place that so many people are, I'm grateful to have my family and grateful to be able to spend time. But at the same time, I'm always, conscious and at the same time, thinking to myself, all of those people out there that are suffering right now, and just trying to do as much as I and we and my family can possibly do in order to support those that need that need our good thoughts, so that we can all as a country come out of this and make it through together.
Obviously you are such an energetic and dedicated philanthropist. I'm going to get into some of the things that you've been doing that are really, really important. I'm kind of curious, like on a personal level, Dahani, for instance, you've always struck me as somebody who's really naturally upbeat, naturally optimistic, but these times can try even the most optimistic amongst us. Like, as an example, personally, like a lot of people, the pandemic started to wear on me a little, and believe me, like I'm one of the truly fortunate ones. I'm really grateful. I mean, don't get that twisted, but it started to get on my nerves a little bit, and I finally just decided, like, I mean, pardon my language, but like, fuck it. I'm going to come out of this thing better than I went into this thing. Like, I decided it and I committed it on a personal level. I'm curious what the pandemic has done to your mindset and how you're personally approaching it.
Well, I think that you said it exactly how it should be. You should always try to find whatever that silver lining is in any moment, no matter how buried it might be. Right? You have to dig and dig and dig. And that's when you kind of go through these soul searching, gut wrenching moments where you're just trying to fight off all of the, the externalities of what's happening in life and go inward. You know, I remember talking to some of my friends, and I was on this big Zoom call, and they asked me for a motivational talk, and I said, you know, the world is going to be a lot different coming out of this, right? And so you should too, right? And whether that has to do with, you know, working on your relationship with your partner, whether that's getting better at your job, whether that's getting better at your knowledge and receiving information, or whether that's reconnecting with people, I think we all have to find whatever these things are within these moments of, you know, in some ways, shape or form, some people are going through moments of solitude in order to rediscover who we are, because the world is rediscovering what it is and where it is going. And so you should do the same type of thing. And then find ways to reconnect with other people so that you can have sort of that, you know, that point of reference, right? So you don't have to feel like you have to walk alone. And so I think that's the evolution that I've gone through, my family's gone through, and a lot of my friends, I've helped them go through, because it's important, right? We are not going to be the same people coming out of this as we were going into it.
So all that said, Dahani, for instance, like, you've always been on the move, constantly, constantly on the move. When you played football, in your off seasons, when your football career ended, you transitioned into your post-playing gigs in the media and in business, constantly on the move. So now you're stuck in your house like a lot of people, and you reconnect with your family. But I would imagine There's a lot of time with yourself in solitude. So during that time, what did you learn about you?
Well... So it's funny you bring up that time in terms of being on the road, because it's true. I've been on the road since I was 18, right? Going to the University of Michigan, and you're playing on the weekends, right? And whether you're playing at home or you're playing away, you're somewhere on the road. And then going, you know, playing the NFL and being on the road, and then business being on the road. I think what I learned about me is, like, I'm okay being at home, Jim.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Right. I'm okay, you know, having a home-cooked meal every night. I'm okay sitting out in my backyard. I am okay spending time with my kids. You know what? And it's good to be a dad. It's good to be home and have those responsibilities versus some of those responsibilities from afar, which I might have been used to. And so what I've learned about myself is I've actually grown up, right? My daughter, a lot of times, she's young. She's 4 years old, and she would always give me the side eye when I got home. Now she gives me a hug,
right?
Because I'm already at home, right? So I'm learning about myself and being comfortable in my own family-like environment, but I'm also learning how grateful I am to be able to have that. And that's what I like to make sure I extend to other people, is, like, regardless of your situation, just be grateful for those that are in your life. And if you need someone in your life, you know, reach out, talk to them, use this technology in a way that we can engage with others that can give us that same support that we need so that we don't exist within solitude.
Interesting. You know, when you mentioned home, you're just outside Detroit, and because you grew up in a military family, you're used to being on the move, Dahani, and I would imagine you could pretty much live wherever you want on either coast, but it's been pretty clear, it seems to me, it's very important to you to live in the Midwest. Why is that so important, and why did you choose to go back there?
You know, I think about, you know, from the world and where we are, the coasts, I've grown up there. I was born in California. I grew up in Maryland. And I went to school at Michigan. I know about the coast, and I know how strong, and I know where the legacy exists. The Midwest is the heartland, and it's in a lot of ways, you know, it is the very fabric of what built America. And I think from an entrepreneurial standpoint, where I sort of exist in starting businesses and talking to other entrepreneurs that want to start businesses as well, we need to include, you know, what people might have called the flyover states. I call it the fabric state, right? We need to include those that have been a part of those communities so that their ideas can flourish just as much as the ideas on either coast. And so I came back to the Midwest, to Michigan, to spend time with a friend of mine, Dan Gilbert, who I'm sure you're familiar of. You
sure.
Know, he just had his great IPO, and Quicken, you know, did a fantastic job in being a part of this new energy that's always existed within the city of Detroit. And I want to be a part of that too. And I want to sort of reach out to the coast that I've been a part of and bring them to the middle as well, because this is a time when we all need to believe in one another and believe in people. And that comes down to identifying others that think and are and will go the same distance with you so that that fabric can be that much stronger so that we can, as a country, move further and faster together.
I think fabric is a great word. Like, Dahani, you're in a constant state of evolution, like all people who want to grow and progress. I mean, you've come a long, long way since the days when you and I used to talk about the bow tie revolution, and you told me, I better wake the hell up or I'm going to miss out. Ultimately, I came around to it. You know, we chuckle at that, but we're dealing with a whole different sort of deal right now. If that was the bow tie revolution back then, how would you characterize the revolution we're dealing with now?
You know, that's the thing that keeps me up at night. I'd say, you know, in lockstep with our year, we're starting to see more clearly where we are as a country. And we're starting to see more clearly our own faults. We're starting to pull into focus the ways that we need to change as a community and the conversations that we need to have as people. If we didn't have this unfortunate intersection of challenges, right? People were not able to move around. People are financially in a challenged position. We're witnessing death on TV. If we had been moving, if we had enough and we didn't have those moments, we may not have been able to sort of adjust our vision to be able to see more clearly, therefore have the conversation, therefore put forth the action that in a lot of ways can help us all grow and sort of heal those wounds, right? First, you have to be able to understand what the wound is before you can go to work on it. And I think a lot of times we've put a lot of Band-Aids, and all those Band-Aids are being ripped off right now. Matter of fact, people are walking around with open wounds. And now the conversation is about what is that wound? And am I responsible for it? And so through the time that we now sit at home and have these discussions, and through this time of which we protest, we are learning about those wounds and therefore establishing that same fabric that hopefully at some point in all of our lives, we'll be able to lay it on that wound so that it can start to heal.
Are you confident of that fact? Do you feel like we're going to understand these wounds, treat these wounds, heal these wounds? Or frankly, are you concerned that we might bleed out?
You know, I love about talking to you. You always ask the good question, my friend.
Yeah.
If we are to grow and we are to survive as a country, we have to apply as much pressure as possible. We have to be able to lean on the fabric so that we start to understand what's really happening. We have to start to work with each other to begin to understand how to even stitch things together. And I think that as we look at the protests that are happening in the NBA, MLB, the WNBA, what's happening in the NFL, these are extraordinary platforms of which friends of mine have spoken up, right? And have said something and have used their platform, right? You know, Sterling Brown, you know, he was talking about, there's been no action. So how can we focus on the game of basketball? Right? So the consciousness is being raised. The overall awareness is being raised. And everybody else is starting to sort of stand up and say, we can't as a country live like this. We can't as a country move forward like this. And the bleeding has to stop. Right? So we're all applying pressure. And I believe that we'll survive because that is, I have that optimism, as you said before. I believe that, you know, within all people, we are good people. We have to find that goodness within everybody so that we can all believe in each other, so that we can all move ahead together.
Right. I mean, we have to believe that to move ahead. Dudes, if you're like me and pretty much every other person who is working from home, you've been staring at your gray hairs and all of your colleagues' gray hairs on video calls for months now. So, what are you going to do about that? Have you thought about coloring your hair? Maybe you're freaking out about that. Yeah, well, you're not alone. Last week, I heard about Madison Reed Mister, and what caught my attention was the before and after shots of beards. Madison Reed Mister is a gray blending natural color for your hair and your beard. And do you remember that shoe polish look? Most people are freaked out by that, and rightfully so. I mean, who wants to dump a bunch of shoe polish on their head? Yeah, well, there's none of that here. Maybe you're not even looking for a drastic change. Maybe you want a little more pepper, a little less salt. You want to change up a little bit. Whatever look you're going for, Madison Reed Mister makes it easy to find your color match right there on the website. And they deliver it right to your door. The process is quick and it's easy. You simply apply the color gel to dry hair. You apply the color activator. You wait 10 minutes. You rinse, shampoo, bam. Natural looking hair color fades gradually, so there is no commitment. Just go to MadisonReedMister.com, MadisonReedMR.com, use the code Rome, get 10% off and free shipping on your first box of Madison Reed Mister. Best deal you can find. Once again, use the code Rome. You know, the point, Donnie, you make about pressure is so important. Pressure, leverage, you understand this as well as anybody. And I think the NBA players did apply pressure. I personally think it was really effective. When you see NBA players refuse to take the court in protest of police brutality, racial inequality, you see other leagues and athletes follow suit, I think that's really effective. Do you think we're going to see the same thing in the NFL?
If we see the same type of police brutality, there was another shooting last night. It seems I would say that the NFL and the players would yes protest. I would say that it will continue. I think there is a discussion, I believe, and you can see it because it's out in plain sight, that players know what power we have. They know that not playing a game, and look, you look at Lewis Hamilton in Formula One. You know, it extends across all sports, and I believe that the protest will continue into the NFL. I mean, I'm watching college players protest.
Yep.
And so it starts with the youth and it grows to the vets and it goes across multiple platforms because this is not a sport issue. This is a countrywide issue. And I think that the raising of awareness is how important sports are to the country, but that the country is more important than the sport. And in the country being more important than the sport, those that are a part of these sports realize that they are a fabric of this country and that their voice matters. And other people will follow alongside with them and add that pressure, right? Add that pressure that other people are applying, and they realize they can't do it by themselves, but their followers can. Their followers can join them in adding that pressure. And so it becomes a collective community, and that's why I believe, right? I wouldn't believe it if people just all of a sudden brushed it off. I wouldn't believe it if Kenny Smith didn't walk off the set. I wouldn't believe it, but people are doing their part. And whether they're on the front lines or whether they're in the side rooms having conversations, they're doing their part. And you're seeing it out there. And it's the discussion, but more importantly, it's the action.
You know, Donnie, one more thought on that. I'm really curious about your take on this, especially because you played that game at that level. And if you were still active, you would make this decision. In terms of action, in terms of an athlete finding his or her voice, Does continuing to play give the players a greater platform to impact change, or would they be more effective opting out and continuing to do that work within the community? Like, where are they most effective with their voice?
Yeah, that, I think that's a personal question.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're seeing, you know, WNBA players that are opting out of the season in order to work on criminal justice reform, just as much as we're seeing players compete to be the starting quarterback so that they can have an elevated position, right? I think, you know, we're watching some players take a knee and other players stand. I think it's the collective consciousness of all people that are playing these games in order to make their own decision of where they wish to operate within sort of this movement. And I think that it's okay for them to make their choice, you know? And so I support my friends who are playing these amazing games that we're so, you know, grateful to be able to play. And I appreciate those that are even, you know, going to the distant and beyond in order to do more. Because that's what they're comfortable with. I think that's part of this world in which we live now, too. It's like we have to be okay with what Jim, what you decide to do, what Dahani, what you decide to do. But I think that the one thing that we can all agree upon is that you can't do nothing, because something is the most important thing that we need to do in order to continue so that we can all see results and change.
Hmm. Now, you have always had this strong, strong sense of community, and it's always been that way. So I know that you are doing some great work with a national organization called Stand Together. What is their mission, and how did you get involved?
Yeah, so, oh, man. Let me say something. You know, in my time of sitting at home, one of the things that I realized, and I said before, there's a lot of people that were financially or still are financially affected due to COVID-19. And Stand Together, and I've had a great rapport and conversation. And they asked me, you know, and said, you know, we're creating a movement, and we're going to call a Give Together Now, and we're going to create a partnership between Stand Together and Family Independence Initiative, and we're going to try to raise funds so that we can, you know, deliver these ACH transfers to those that have been financially affected due to COVID-19. And before they even finished the sentence, I said, I'm in, right? Because as a player, I have a platform. As a television host, I have a platform. As a person, I have a platform. And people that are sitting at home need to know that there are other people out there supporting them. And so what Give Together Now was able to do was able to marry, obviously, Family Independence Initiative and Stand Together. And what we effectively did was we created a series called Stand Together Live. And I was able to interview people like Jimmy Chin and Nancy Lieberman, Brandon Graham, Sean Johnson. And what we do is we talk about their journey and their life, their gifts, their beliefs, their community, so that others that were watching Stand Together Live could feel and understand what it's like to be in isolation or what other people are going through. Right? That's the way you live through something is to hear from others. And so we were able to create the Stand Together Live, and then those that could give to Give Together Now could go to givetogethernow.org and they could contribute. And we got so many people to contribute. I mean, everybody from the Howard Schultz Foundation to, you know, Stand Together, and they were able to contribute. And then people were able to contribute. People were able to contribute by just giving kindness. We were asking people to take pictures of giving kindness and hashtag Give Together Now and tag Stand Together Foundation. We'd pass along $500 for them to people that were in need. And then people that needed money knew where to go. They knew how to receive some of this money. right? And I have so many stories of people, but Jim, and I don't know if you know this, but we raised $100 million.
I do know this. I do. I was going to ask you about that. I mean, Donnie, for instance, it's such an enormous, enormous number. I mean, it's one thing for you to be an athlete at the highest level and provide entertainment. It's one thing for you to be a media member and have a platform and a show and provide more entertainment. How does it make you feel to be able to make that big a difference to that many people at this time by doing this type of work?
So with $100 million, that's 200,900 families. And we put $500 in direct cash relief into those people's hands. I feel as though it's my responsibility as someone that has been a part of the social fabric and had the fortunate opportunity to play the game of football and have a platform to help. And I think the others that were able to join me and watch and participate and all of those that contributed, you know, feel the same way. And I'm grateful for what I have in my family. I'm grateful for what I've been able to do in my life. And I feel as though, you know, it's part of my role and responsibility to give back. You know, Lloyd Carr always said, it's not about you. It's about something greater than yourself. Right. And I just, in my mind, I just keep thinking about that. And that's why, you know, that's why Give Together Now became so much of something that I just dove in face first. You know, I talked to Dean Ice twice, you know, arguably the greatest DJ, arguably one that took music and brought people in, and he's still performing live. I mean, all the different things that he's doing. I talked to him twice. He felt as though it was important to have a conversation with me, just like, you know, just like DeMario Davis. And we all feel our calling to be able to help others that have been in need. And we're just grateful to those that were able to participate through Give Together Now. And we're just so grateful that we were able to pass, you know, those $500 to those that needed it.
Good for you. Good for everybody involved. That is an enormous number, $100 million. You mentioned Lloyd Carr, Dahani. I used to really like talking to him on the program back in the day. And, of course, you are a Michigan man. You won a championship in Michigan. We now have a son who's at Wisconsin, and I'm a landowner in the state of Wisconsin. So I've got to ask you this. I mean, the Big Ten, I hate to say it, because now I have roots myself, even as a California native. But the Big Ten really could not have jacked this thing up any worse than they have. Like, what have you been thinking as you've seen all of this dissension within the ranks play out publicly and what's transpired in the last few weeks? What goes through your mind as you watch that, as somebody who played and won in that conference?
Yeah, I think about the players. You know, I know that we're all still trying to figure this out. That's what I know. And there's probably more things to unpack that we'll probably learn in a history class 20 years from now. But the thing that I think about all the time, you know, my cousin, he goes to Wisconsin. So I got to hook him up with your kid.
Yeah, man, I would love that. That'd be great. I would love that.
He's playing soccer.
I would love that.
And everything's done. So I'm thinking about my cousin who's playing soccer at Wisconsin, and I'm thinking, how is, you know, like, what's going through his mind? He's worked so hard. But then as soon as I go to the kids, I go to the parents who know that, you know, this is a challenging time. So I think the thing that I think about the most, aside from, you know, whether it's the Big Ten commissioner having the conversation, you know, in politics, right, or the governors and their conversation in politics, or the school and the presidents and the head coaches and their bickering back and forth and trying to figure out whether I'm going to stay in this conference or not, I'm going to go somewhere else. Aside from all that, right, that's a lot. I just care about the kids. I want the kids to be safe. I want the families to be reunited with their kids. I want their kids to get a great education. That's what I think about all the time. I want the kids to be able to have a great experience. And it's it's a challenging time. They all know that, right? I gave an address to the incoming students at the University of Michigan, and I told them, just like I'm telling you, the world's going to be different. So how are you going to accept the challenge in adding or into making a difference? And so that's what I think about when I think about the kids that are at school.
So, did you maybe go a little too hard this weekend? I got something that can help you out. Goodies Hangover Powder. What an amazing product. I'm talking about hangover pain relief at the speed of powder. Fast pain relief with a boost of alertness. I'm talking about a temporary relief from aches and pains, which are due to the hangover, the headache, the muscle aches. I'm talking about a product that's so amazing. It helps to restore mental alertness when you're experiencing fatigue or drowsiness associated with a hangover. Goodies Hangover Powder. It is the first hangover offering from an analgesics brand, and it comes in tasty berry citrus boost flavor. And it's easy to find. It's available on Amazon, in Walmart, and at your local convenience store. You see, Goodies understands that you can't afford to let a hangover slow you down. And for a hangover that's really tough, you need real medicine. Goodies Hangover is more than the natural supplements that you've seen before for treating hangovers. With a history rooted in analgesics and putting an end to tough pain, Goodies Hangover has the right formula to stop pain fast and provide a boost of alertness. Now you can have that fun night without worrying about the next morning. Goodies Hangover. Real medicine for real hangovers. Fast relief with a boost of alertness. Goodies Hangover Powder. I wonder, Dahani, like, what was your message? I mean, that's a giant responsibility. I'm curious. Like, I talked to my son, who is now a sophomore in college, and he wants to be in the media, but not sports, more like politics. He wants to make a difference. And I try and tell him, like, the world is so different now than when I got my start. You can't run my playbook and have the same sort of results. I'm really curious, what was your message, if you had to condense it, what was your message to those kids going into school at Michigan?
You know, I told them, you know, number one, mind the moment. We have so many things in this world that are distracting us from our primary objective. You know, primary objective is to be a good person. Primary objective is to leave the world a better place. Primary objective is to build relationships, right? So mind the moment. I told them, I told them that make an impact, right? Make an impact. Know that the things that you know, one person, you know, the whole quote, you know, one person could change the world, right? One person could take a knee. Another person could raise their fist. Another person could speak out, right? Another person could walk. Another person could run for president. Another person could start a company. It could all change the world. So make an impact. And recognize, as I said, Lloyd Carr, it's not about you, it's about something greater than yourself. And I told them, you know, third, that it's okay to change. It's okay to change. We as people think that, you know, we are this and we are that, right? We're either one thing or the next. No, we're fluid organisms that are constantly evolving in our circumstance. We're constantly learning from each other through time. And I think that the most important thing is to be okay with change. And I think coming back to where we are in our world today and the challenges that we're all suffering through, right? We all need to recognize that this is an important moment, that we all can make an impact, and we all can change. And that will be the sort of the greatest outcome out of any, you know, time in school. While you're developing the relationships and you're getting to know where you stand and your footing in this world.
I think there's so much good information in that, Dahani. I do not in any way want to misconstrue what you just said, but I want to ask you something, because this notion of change, man, this is something that I can't get out of my head. This is something I think about all the time right now for whatever reason, like this notion of whether it's change or reinvention or reimagination or maybe an all-out resurrection. And I don't mean like your normal, let's get a little bit better every single day. I mean like a complete reboot, like replace yourself completely. I heard something the other day that I thought was really fascinating. I want to get your thoughts on this. An NBA skills coach, Drew Hanlon, said, he said there are two ways to change. You can change gradually or, quote, you can shock the fucking system. And he said, I prefer to shock the fucking system. Like, where do you come out on that? Do you think that's possible? And if you do, can you do it, like, with semi-regularity?
Wow. I think it is possible. And it comes down to a conviction, and it comes down to a belief system, and it comes down to support. And that conviction has to be so strong, and the moment has to be so powerful, and the mindset has to be so prolific that you're unshakable. You know, we've seen speeches, and we've seen people, and we've seen, you know, friends and families rise up in this moment, and they've shocked the world, and they've taken chances, and they've done what they feel as though is that dramatic shift and created that within themselves. And I think that we're watching that as we speak. You know, it's like every time I turn on, you know, the news, every time I go to YouTube, or every time I just, you know, watch a video, there's somebody else that's taking a greater chance, because everybody knows that that we can't keep living this way. And so we do have to make these dramatic shifts. But I will say this, not everybody has to make as dramatic shift as the next. I go back to what is it that makes you more comfortable? What is it that you've decided for yourself? Right? As you sit on the side of your desk and you have your conversation, to what level are you going to take your voice in order to amplify so that you can see the change that you want the world to be? Each person is on their journey to do just that. And if you want to make it explosive, then that is what you choose to do. And if you want to whisper, In a lot of circles, that's just as strong and just as powerful as those that shout.
I get that. I understand that. I respect that. I admire that. Listen, before you go, I could do this all day long. This is so good, man. This is so powerful. This is so.
Why are we not talking more regularly, man?
I know, right? And it's all my fault. I definitely will own that, and we should, and we will, and I can't wait to do it again. I got to ask you about. I mean, I could ask you about the Giants. I could ask you about the Eagles. I want to ask you about the Bengals because of the time you spent there, and you spent so much time living in the community. Like, I understand that Joe Burrow has not played a single NFL game yet, but I also understand that I've never seen a college quarterback have a better single season than he did. Does it feel to you, and again, this is a very unusual time, no exhibition season, the run-up's different, but does it feel to you like he might be a special or even transcendent player?
I'll tell you, from my opinion, I personally don't like to evaluate players until they've been in the league for 2 to 3 years. It's so hard to make an impact coming out of the gates, but I do think that a guy like Joe Burrow in a place like Cincinnati that has long awaited a transcendent player like Joe to come in and shake everything up, I think that adds energy to it. The question that I will always contend with is how mature can he be through the process? That's oftentimes what allows people to walk the tightrope. And sometimes what knocks people off the balance beam. And so, personally, it takes me a while to evaluate. Visually, I look at the city, and I know that they want him to be successful, and they will energize the entire community in order to rally behind him. How well will he walk the beam, if you will? How well will he walk the tightrope? That's what I'm looking for in, like, the next upcoming weeks.
Sure. So, Dahani, one last thought. I can't help but notice that you're all about that cycle life on Instagram these days.
Now,
don't tell me you're riding your bike too.
Okay, I was gonna say I'm right there with you, kind of, sort of. But I'm all
about
No. See, that's why I shouldn't have gone there. I'm about the indoor cycle life on my Peloton.
Man, you got to get outside, Jim.
I know. That's what everybody tells me. I love the Peloton, dude. Listen, I can hear it in your voice. What is it about the out? And we're talking about you are an athlete at the highest level. You're about the outdoors, the adventure. I got to know, what is it about the outdoor cycle life on your road bike that I am missing? When did you start, and what do you like most about it?
Okay, so let me just tell you this, okay? My first sport in life was cycling and swimming. That's my first sport. That's a part of who I am at the core. As a matter of fact, I've had the privilege of now joining Pocket Outdoor Media Board, and we own like Fellow News and Backpacker and Yoga and all these other different media properties. I'm just so excited in order to get people more involved in going outside. And the reason is because that is the foundation of not only who I am, but I believe us as people, we are supposed to be outside. We're not supposed to be inside within closed walls. We're supposed to be outside. And if anything has been evident through this unfortunate time, is how much we need to connect with people. And the best place to connect with people is outside. I remember when we were at the stay-at-home orders for Michigan, I saw more people going back and forth on their bikes, and the smiles on kids' faces, and the elation of the parents and older couples who had yet to been on a bike for probably the better part of 50 years, but they went to go buy one just to kind of what it felt like again. That is why I cycle, because I can feel, right? I can see, I can hear the environment, and I can sense the change in my body, right? Because there's another selfish part to it that I talked about before. I'm not going to be the same guy, you know, coming out of the stay at home as I went in, and I've dropped a lot of weight. I've narrowed my focus. I've gotten healthier, and I found that by, you know, going distance. And this upcoming weekend, you know, I'll be riding with my friends Doug Ullman and the folks over at Pelotonia to help them raise money for cancer. But you know, the community outside that I found through Pocket Outdoor Media and those that I found through riding on my bike are the same community of which, you know, we all like to rally together so that we can change the world. But the first thing we need to do is we need to see it. And the only way you're going to see it is by stepping outside of your house, outside of your comfort zone and away from the screen and actually talking to people. And so that's why I ride. That's why I cycle, so that I can actually hear what's happening in the world so that I can be a part of the change that I want to see.
The football season right around the corner, less than 10 days away. The reigning champs are set to take the field to kick off the season, and there is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To celebrate week one of the football season, DraftKings is putting you in the center of action with two shots at a $1 million top prize. Get in on all the action right now. Making it rain with DraftKings is so easy. You draft your team, you stay under the salary cap, and you pile up points for yardage, touchdowns, and so much more. On top of that amazing offer, DraftKings is also giving away a share of up to $100 million in prizes to all users who enter their free football survivor pool. All you have to do is sign up for DraftKings, enter their survivor pool, and you'll instantly get a share of up to $100 million in giveaways. Download the top-rated DraftKings app right now. Use the promo code Rome. Get a free shot at a $1 million top prize. Promo code Rome. DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Other terms and conditions do apply. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Now, Dahani, that thing about being outside is so fascinating, because I'm still about that Peloton life, and I will be for a long, long time. However, like I had it in my head, Dahani, that the best way, and this is, you know, whatever works for the individual. I've gotten this message from you throughout the entire conversation. Whatever is right for the individual, what's always worked for me is just kind of putting my head down and grinding, you know, getting inside, going to the basement or going to the gym and grinding it out. It's only been lately that I've gone outside and gone for runs and gone for hikes, and I get it. I never did. I get it now. I want to finally ask you this. In terms of your bike, I know you made a century ride for the first time. Now, if you're an athlete and you have been your entire life and you're taught from like day one, whatever you do, never quit, never give in, never give up. It's okay to lose, but you have to go as hard as you possibly can. You got to play tired. You got to play through it. I'm really curious, the century ride, how challenging was that? And how would you compare that to like the most challenging times in your athletic life or your most challenging moments in the NFL? How would that compare?
Well, you know, with the interview series with Give Together Now, I remember interviewing Jimmy Chin. He talked about that isolation on the mountain. And I think in the same way that he felt isolation, and in the same way that you go down in the basement and you put your head down and work through all that grit, it's the same way that, you know, I focus on the bike. Now, that's over 100 miles. I would say that the grit and putting your head down and moving through a season is one way to look at it. But I think there's also something in the moment of football. And I can't pinpoint one particular moment, but I can say that every third and one on the goal line is just similar to a moment of 100 miles on a bike and you have one last hill to climb. That's how I parallel the moment, right? Regardless if it takes 6 hours or if it takes 6 seconds, it's still the mentality of focusing in, locking in, grinding it out, and making sure you make the play, right? Because I didn't have to finish the 100 miles. Right? I could have quit at 99, but 99 is not 100. And an hour and 20 minutes on the bike is not an hour and a half on the bike. And letting somebody's part of their body get across the goal line, well, that's just them scoring. So you have to finish. And so that's kind of how I look at it when I'm on the bike. It's just locking to the moment like you're talking about, diving into the grit and just focusing on finishing. But each stroke that I take, I get one step closer. Every step that I take, I get one foot closer to making that impact so that they don't score. Just like you get, 1 pound closer to your goal, right? Everybody has those goals. You set forth those goals and you put your head down and you just go and you just do.
Guys, like, this is my favorite topic ever. Like, grit, man, that's such an amazing word, isn't it? Grit. Like grit's like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, you lose it and it can get stronger. Like, is your grit the same as it was when you played, or is that just not natural to think that it could be? Or maybe, Dahani, is it stronger now than when you played?
I think that my grit has gotten stronger. But I would also say that over the last 6 months, I've become more acquainted with my grit. I've sat in the room as you said, and all of us have struggled in different ways. We've all gone through mental shifts and political challenges and personal changes. There's so many things. I think I've gotten reacquainted with my grit, and I think that there's been a lot of other people that have gotten reacquainted with their grit and found out that we're a strong people. We are strong. And so I think it's always been there. I've heightened that level of grit through the world of sports. But when you add so many other nuance is not the right word, but it's when you add so many other variables to that grit, sometimes the grit has to mature itself. And there's a catalyzing moment, which I believe is now, that we all are finding that grit within us. And some of us, unfortunately, are not. And we need to be able to support those that need help. And those that have the grit, we need to make sure that we keep in alignment with that grit and we keep building upon it, sort of like bricks, right? And that we reinforce it so that that wall becomes that much stronger so that, you know, we can hold other people, you know, up as well. And that's also part of the responsibility of grit. It's not just you, it's others as well.
God, that is the best. I absolutely love that. Becoming reacquainted with your grit, then building upon that, and then sharing it and spreading it. Dehani, you said it best. I have no idea how we have not come together more recently. I will promise you and make sure that as long as you're up for it, I will not let that happen again. Listen, thank you so much, first of all, for an amazing conversation. If there's anywhere that people wanted to go, where would you direct them right now in terms of more information about you, what you're doing, or maybe where you want people to go to seek information?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a long way to go with what's happening around COVID-19. And one of the things, like I said before, I've been really focused on is being able to help people that have been financially affected during, you know, due to COVID-19. And so I would invite everybody to go to givetogethernow.org and just read about some of the stories of people that have received, you know, the $500 and the changes that have happened in their life as a result of it. I would invite people to, you know, give if they can. And if they know people that are suffering right now, for them to be able to receive some money. That's where I really would like people to spend time, because, you know, I believe in Stand Together. I believe in the Family Independence Initiative and what we've been able to create together with Give Together Now. And I believe firmly that we as a community and as people are changing, and we need not leave others behind. We shall and should bring as many people forward. And that's what we've been working towards, and that's what we've been working on, and that's what we will collectively continue to do through Give Together Now.
It's an excellent point, Dehani. That is not only one of my favorite conversations ever, that is one of the most important conversations I've had in quite some time. That is time extremely well spent. And I appreciate you so much, and I appreciate the time. We will do it again soon, and I can't thank you enough, man. That was just tremendous.
No, I appreciate it too. Thank you. Thank you.
Everybody knows about the risks of driving drunk. You could get into a crash. People could get hurt or killed. Let's take a moment, though, and look at some really surprising stats. Nearly 29 people in the United States die every single day in alcohol-impaired vehicle crashes. That's one person every 50 minutes. Even though drunk driving fatalities have fallen by one-third in the past three decades, drunk driving crashes still claim more than 10,000 lives every single year. And drunk driving can have a major impact on your wallet as well. You could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. You could possibly lose your job. So, what can you do to prevent drunk driving? Plan a safe ride home before you start to drink. Designate a sober driver. Call a taxi. If somebody you know has been drinking, take their keys and arrange for them to get a sober ride home. We all know the consequences of driving drunk, but one thing is for sure, you're wrong if you think it's no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA. Massive, massive thanks to Dehani Jones for that time and for that conversation. I mean, like, impossible not to take a dozen great things from that. I appreciate him. I appreciate the relationship. And I am pumped that we could do it on the Long Form Pod. Now, as you know by now, 141 episodes in, we are not slowing down. Get subscribed. Make sure you never miss another conversation. And if you are new here, go check out the previous editions. Drop a needle on whatever catches your eye. They're all evergreen. They all still hold up today. Back next week with another great one. But until then, here are your voicemails.
First new message.
Hey, Jimmy. Jason in Grants Pass. I gotta let you know, G. That was the epic podcast of all times. Dude, the Brewthars lit it up. It brought back memories of the old school times. It was so good. I got no really nothing else to say, but that was great. So keep up the good work. Sorry about your freaking car accident in the fucking goddamn driveway, dude. That was awesome to hear about, too. So anyway, now sorry, dude. Well, well, shit. Insurance company, I'll worry about that. But awesome, bud. I'm flaming out, but anyway, love you, bro. 24 years strong, man. Take care.
Message saved. Next message.
Hey, Jim, Martin Lathrop, a friend of Mark Shapiro's. When I was working at Six Flags for him, I had my car parked. My wife took my other car, came in, and backed into it. And I came home, and I'm like, man, someone hit my dang car. She got a funny look on her face. She bolted out the door. Sure enough, my car had hit my car, and I wasn't even driving, so I could identify with you. Have a great day.
Message saved. Next message.
Van Smack. I originally had Milwaukee against the Lakers in the finals, but I'll tell you what, man, my man, Nick Van Fleet, my dude is an assassin with a J, and the Toronto Raptors with him, Pascal Siakam, underrated Kyle Lowry, all of the above are going to be a handful for the East, Van Smack, so I'm about to amend it right here. Lakers beat Toronto, it's our year, baby. Outro.
Message saved. Next message.
Mr. Rome, this is O in San Diego. I called in last week about my Slam Diego Padres. I told them, Dodger fans, we were coming from them, and they were scared. So I just wanted to say, Preller, amazing, genius man. Playoffs, here we come. Be aware. And whoever we face in those playoffs, watch out for those top three, and watch out for those Slam Diego Padres, baby. Let's go, SD. Yeah!
Message saved. Next message.
This is Keith from San Diego. I appreciate what you're doing. I'm not saying that this shouldn't be done. I think you have to touch on it. What I would love to hear is from a police perspective, you know, how these guys feel. They're in a tough position. You know, these guys are trained in their job every day. They're probably paranoid that everybody's a criminal, and that's a hard place to be. Everybody's protesting, and they want change, and they're going to protest this, and we're not going to play here or there. The bottom line is somebody has to come up with a solution. How many police departments are there that you have to go through and change the mindset of these departments, these chiefs, and all these people, and figure out what it's going to take to make the change? People need to sit down together. I just hope in some way you hear this, and you take that into consideration, and maybe bring that to light. Thanks.
Message saved. Next message.
Hi, Jim. This is Lane, Southern California. Long-time listener, 20 years or more. I've never considered myself a clone until this year. And the reason I do now is because of your take on George Floyd. And this has to stop. You know, this is murder. It's your cops committing crime. That's all that it is. But how this can even happen, I don't understand how we've gotten to this point. But I just want to say you have your full-throated support. I don't tweet. I don't even on social media very much. I'm just a dad, outraged, and all this, and I can't believe it's going on. Completely support millionaires in sweat socks that want to do the right things that are showing the way for a lot of other people. Kudos to you. I appreciate it. I'll always be listening. Long-suffering Angels fan.
Message saved. You have no more messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.